B-Pod Studios.
Maintaining a routine is important.
Don't blow it.
So when you want to keep up on Boston sports, be entertained, and updated on the important info you need, you can listen to the Sports Hub on your smart speaker or the Sports Hub app.
Now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the third longest game in Tampa Bay Lightning history. The longest May of 2003 against New Jersey. We're 11 minutes and 12 seconds away from that.
Yeah, I know this is sacrilegious to some people, but I think they should find a way to end this, whether it's reducing the number of skaters on the ice or going to a shootout eventually. I think Keith is right that people start to lose interest. If this was at a 7:30, 8 o'clock game, they'd be turning off the channel and going to bed. Plus, it reduces the quality of play going forward for both of these teams. And you mentioned 4 out of 6 nights for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's pretty tough to recover from that.
Good job by Mike Milbury. That's why he's the best. I'm sure the ninnies at NBC slapped him on the wrist for it. So freaking tight there. Hey, Milbury. Yeah, just the NBC hockey coverage bugs me. They're so afraid. Like, you compare the NBA coverage, which is just, I think, terrific from, you know, Adam Silver and the NBA get it. They let the TNT crew be the TNT crew. Barkley's out there ripping people on a nightly basis, even the ESPN stuff, like Perk and Paul Pierce. Like, those guys are great. They rip guys. They criticize guys. It's back and forth. They say whatever they want. It's shoot from the hip. The NBA commentary on those networks is great. The NHL on NBC, oh, my God. Would you loosen up a little bit? They're so freaking afraid of Bettman or something. I don't know. Like, that stands as bomb throwing by Milbury. That's my own little personal soapbox there, because I think the hockey stuff could be and should be so much more interesting than it is. But I think they're kind of afraid. But anyway, at least Milbury has the guts to come out and say in the middle of an NHL product that they should look at about changing this because there's diminishing returns. Because there is. The quality of play suffers. The quality of play absolutely suffers, especially now when these guys don't even have their legs. And a lot of those overtime periods last night, Maz, there were no scoring chances.
Right.
And there were a couple of guys who got in a little low, but they'd missed the net. There weren't even many posts that were hit. Like, it's just the actual play itself wasn't that interesting. The only thing that was interesting is that it wouldn't end, and it could end at any moment. But I could say that about freaking baseball, and that ain't interesting either. And I absolutely agree with Milbury that they need to do something in the playoffs to get us, you know, by the time you get to the third overtime, it's over. Figure a way to end that thing.
Yeah, I told you, I'd go to, you know, me, one overtime. You want to play one overtime, 5-on-5, because I do like the integrity of the 5-on-5. Okay, that I like. So play one overtime, 5-on-5, and then after that, 4-on-4. And if you get to a third one, 3-on-3. And if you want to tell me you want halfway through the second one, at the 10-minute mark, they blow the whistle. 3-on-3. Take a skater off.
You would want that for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Yep.
Oh, you people are crazy. And so, you know, you want to use the baseball comparison because it was interminable. It was. Like, how long that was? It was crazy. But, so that's the fourth longest game in Stanley Cup playoff history, right? So if you look at the other three games that it's behind, like, they're... These don't happen as much as it happens in baseball. The most recent one after this was the third longest game was in 2000. That's 20 years ago. The other ones happened in the 30s. That was an anomaly last night. It's a freak show, but it doesn't happen that often.
Oh, sorry. Like, even the triple overtime.
Yeah,
games.
The three overtimes.
Too much. Again,
oh, it's fine. Oh,
it's too much. And no, it isn't. It's too much. It was too much when the Bruins played the Blackhawks in 2013. That was Game 1. Remember that?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I loved it, even though they lost.
Oh, I could not. By the end of it, I was like, let's just end it so we can go home and play Game 2.
We were in the building, right? Maz, yeah. That was the game we were at.
Correct.
It's like, oh, my God. This is, okay, we got 6 more of these. Like, can we figure it out? And I think there's, you know, there's a offshoot to it, too, and that is that it puts the loser really behind the 8 ball for Game 2 because I think there's such a psychological, you know, if you lost Game 1 of a 7-game series in a shootout, you'd sort of say, ah, shootout. Big deal. You know, could have gone either way. Nothing really there. When you lose in triple overtime on a bouncing puck, like in 2013, Maz, when the Bruins lost that game, I said there, I thought that was the series. And I think that tends to happen that way. The winner of that early series multiple overtime game just has this big advantage. And I don't know. I don't want to say it's unfair, but it's just not worth it what you get.
But that's what adds the importance to it, and the gut-wrenching exhaustion of watching the NHL playoffs. I love it. Again, it doesn't happen all that much. And more than anything else, I can't believe we went from not having any sports to complaining about how long this game lasted last night.
Murray, let me say something. As much as I miss sports, I miss complaining about sports. So it's really the same thing. I mean, yes, I miss sports.
So last night's a win regardless.
Right. Being able to show up the next day and rant for a couple hours about five overtimes in hockey, it's the same. That's what I missed. That's what I missed as much as the sport itself. So, yes, and we got it last night. But, I mean, some of the numbers are just absurd. What was it with the
– what do you make, 87 saves?
85.
Yeah, Korpisalo, 85 saves. Vasilevsky only had 61. They combined for 151 shots. That's the most in NHL history since they began tracking the thing in 1955. Again, 6 hours, 13 minutes on the real clock. The game clock was 150 minutes. Hey, you need 150 minutes in game one to figure out who the best team is?
I think Seth Jones played something like 65 minutes.
I was just looking it up. I think it was 63 minutes.
63 and change.
Whatever it was. So he played 63 freaking minutes.
That's three games. In the regular season, that is. That's three games in the regular season, right? You're going to get, 22 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? It's like three games he played last night. Ridiculous.
So, he said today, I feel fine.
If you had his body, you'd feel fine, too. That guy's a rock.
So, the games are good for that. Those little oddities, those crazy numbers, and the endurance of it. But I'm not watching this for the endurance. If I like this stuff, I'd watch the Ironman. I'd watch freaking biathlons. I'd watch marathons. And that stuff bores me and you to tears. And, certainly this isn't that, but come on. It's, the whole headline, which you see everywhere, Lightning win, five overtime thriller. I just have a part with the, thrilling, epic, No, it was just long. Just like the long baseball games. Like the World Series game last year in Los Angeles. Was that 19 innings something? And it was how long did that thing last? 5-6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
The post-game show at 2:30 in the morning. I was ready to shoot myself.
I have a friend who went to that game with his kids. And, of course, when you go with kids who care about sports, they won't let you leave.
Right.
The old man's always ready to leave. But final buzzer, we're out.
We can watch. I want to stay to the end of the game.
We'll listen to overtime. And so the kids made him stay. He said it was the worst night of my life. He said, I couldn't get out of there. This is a huge Red Sox. He's a lifelong Boston sports fan and a huge Red Sox fan who made the effort and the expense to go to a World Series game at Dodger Stadium with a big night for him. He said it was one of the worst nights of my life. I couldn't leave. It's like no matter how important the game, no matter what the stakes or the setting, there's just a point where you just can't do it anymore. You just shouldn't do it anymore, and it's diminishing returns. And I absolutely feel that way about Stanley Cup playoff hockey. I'll say it again. By the time you get to the second overtime, I'm saying to myself, this is now – I'm now looking at the clock or saying, you got to figure out a way to end it, and I wouldn't even get to that. I would go 4-on-4 immediately – in the first overtime and either play 10 or 20 minutes. Then if you want to do a little 3-on-3 for 5 or 10 minutes, that's fine. And then shootout. You heard me. Shootout. I've seen gold medal hockey games settled on shootouts. I've said before, Murray, I've seen World Cup soccer matches, which is the most important championship in the world, decided on penalty kicks. Other sports do this because they have to. You can't sit around all day waiting for these guys to figure it out.
I like it. When the stakes are this high, I like it. So if the Celtics were to play a 5-overtime game in the playoffs, you don't want that? Do you want them to go 1-on-1? You want to play horse?
Well, that one's a little different because the overtimes are 5 minutes. They're not 20 minutes. It's not totally apples to apples. They don't play a whole quarter, right? They don't play a whole half or whatever.
It seems if it was late enough, you guys would bitch.
No. So basketball, I don't qualify because it's a short enough product as it is. Their games are 2 hours and 15 minutes, and the overtimes are 5. And triple overtime there is super, super rare. I mean, overtime's rare. It feels like. I don't think we get a ton of overtime in the NBA. No, those don't bug me. It doesn't feel like those drag. I don't sit there looking at the NBA at the end of the second overtime going, all right, when are we going to settle this thing? And in football, they can play all night as far as I'm concerned. That's just football's different from everything. But even they say 10 minutes and we're getting the hell out of here. And if you're tied, we're tied. We're not going to sit here all day trying to figure it out after we just gave you 3.5 hours how to figure it out. And never mind the fact Pat, you're playing three games a day in one building. These guys are quarantined away from their families in a foreign city in Hotel X. Isn't that like where the Bruins are saying something called Hotel X? They're in like...
You sure it's on Hotel Triple X?
They're in this. Well, that's what it's going to turn into because you're overtime on the Spank Division because you now have been away from your family for 2 weeks and counting. It's like... We've got to settle this somehow. We've got to settle this. We've got to get back to our families. We've got to figure out who the best team is. We've given ourselves four rounds, seven games each. We brought, how many teams was it? 26, 24 teams to this effing city. We've given everyone a chance. We've given everyone every chance we could possibly need to figure out who the best team is. If seven games is not enough, then we're doing something wrong. So you don't need eight periods? They played eight periods last night. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Could five overtime? We don't need eight periods in game one to tell me who the best team is. We've given ourselves seven games. Like I said, I could rant about this all day long, Maz.
Oh, listen, you get no complaint from me. You won me over on this one. Last night was the one that was, this is just, it's ridiculous. It is. It's ridiculous. We can't sit there and spend 7 hours in front of a TV for a game one. Like, you just can't do it. So I like the idea of going to 4-4 because I think that'll solve it.
Again, they did that in the Olympics several years ago and gave you a great moment. Sidney Crosby overtime against the U.S. It was over a lickety split. And they weren't afraid to go 4-4 right out of the chute. What's wrong with that? I was just going to say, so again, in these times this year, even effing baseball has decided to do something to not sit there all night. Even baseball, which is, again, as we know, always the last in line, the last to act. They said, screw it. Put a runner on second. We need to get the hell out of here. Even baseball. And I guess in the playoffs, they're not going to do it, but they should. But they should.
And they went to seven-inning doubleheaders. Like, right, you know, exactly. So the whittling it down.
Like, I mean, if you could make the case that this first round should even be best of five, given the circumstances and given the climate and given everything. This should be best of five. They should be, you know, modified overtimes to pick a winner. Like, this is a special year. It's okay. You say you want to get to the Stanley Cup final and go back to normal, fine, but... I'm sorry, last night is just, but right out of the chute, wouldn't you know it? Like, my pet peeve, the thing that goes right up my keister, day one, game one, that impacts the Bruins. When they came out before that fourth overtime, whatever it was, and said the Bruins have been scheduled to reschedule till tomorrow at 11, I said, you can't do that. What are we down 11 a.m.? Didn't you have the same reaction? I was like, what? We're playing at 11?
Honestly, I thought it was a joke. I'm like, is this like some type of prank? They're not moving the game,
right? I thought they meant the other 11.
Like, I mean, I was like, you've got to be kidding. Like, they're literally moving the game to tomorrow morning? And then I thought, well, why not? Like, where the hell else are they going to be?
I mean, by the way, I settled in. I liked it. I liked the 11 a.m. start. I'm glad they did it this way. But when they first said it, I'm like, you can't do that. And so, that's what happens when you play five overtimes the night before. Rant over. Not. Rant over for now. To your thoughts right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Hey, it's Maz for Window Nation, and boy, are they excited August is here because it's their anniversary. And to help celebrate, they are giving you 50% off all window orders. And this year, extra special for Window Nation, they just installed their 1 millionth window on top of it. 1 million windows. That means that they have the experience. And we all know what experience means. Each installer at Window Nation averages over 16 years of experience ensuring that they get it right the first time. And as for the price of the whole thing, well, listen up because it's unbelievable. You can help Window Nation celebrate its anniversary and get 50% off all window orders. Plus, they'll defer your payments for 2 years with no interest. Think of that. 50% off, no interest, deferred payments for 2 years. You're not going to find a better deal on any product anywhere than that. It's absolutely incredible. So call now for a free estimate. See why over 100,000 homeowners choose Window Nation. Winter is coming. We all know it. So protect your home and save big. Do it now. 50% off your entire window order, plus defer payments on windows for 2 years. Interest free. Unbelievable. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And when you do, be sure to tell them that Maz sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't blow it.
So when you want to keep up on Boston sports, be entertained, and updated on the important info you need, you can listen to the Sports Hub on your smart speaker or the Sports Hub app.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mazz.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mazz.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
The Sports Hub.
This is the third longest game in Tampa Bay Lightning history. The longest May of 2003 against New Jersey. We're 11 minutes and 12 seconds away from that.
Yeah, I know this is sacrilegious to some people, but I think they should find a way to end this, whether it's reducing the number of skaters on the ice or going to a shootout eventually. I think Keith is right that people start to lose interest. If this was at a 7:30, 8 o'clock game, they'd be turning off the channel and going to bed. Plus, it reduces the quality of play going forward for both of these teams. And you mentioned 4 out of 6 nights for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's pretty tough to recover from that.
Good job by Mike Milbury. That's why he's the best. I'm sure the ninnies at NBC slapped him on the wrist for it. So freaking tight there. Hey, Milbury. Yeah, just the NBC hockey coverage bugs me. They're so afraid. Like, you compare the NBA coverage, which is just, I think, terrific from, you know, Adam Silver and the NBA get it. They let the TNT crew be the TNT crew. Barkley's out there ripping people on a nightly basis. Even the ESPN stuff, like Perk and Paul Pierce, like, those guys are great. They rip guys. They criticize guys. It's back and forth. They say whatever they want. It's shoot from the hip. The NBA commentary on those networks is great. The NHL on NBC, oh, my God. Would you loosen up a little bit? They're so freaking afraid of Bettman or something. I don't know. Like, that stands as bomb throwing by Milbury. That's my own little personal soapbox there, because I think the hockey stuff could be and should be so much more interesting than it is. But I think they're kind of afraid. But anyway, at least Milbury has the guts to come out and say in the middle of an NHL product that they should look at about changing this because there's diminishing returns. Because there is. The quality of play suffers. The quality of play absolutely suffers, especially now when these guys don't even have their legs. And a lot of those overtime periods last night, Maz, there were no scoring chances.
Right.
And there were a couple of guys who got in a little low, but they'd missed the net. There weren't even many posts that were hit. Like, it just the actual play itself wasn't that interesting. The only thing that was interesting is that it wouldn't end, and it could end at any moment. But I could say that about freaking baseball, and that ain't interesting either. And I absolutely agree with Milbury that they need to do something in the playoffs to get us, you know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rebound, Sergeyev, right circle, Kucherov shoots, block, point high slot.
Shoot, score! 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 Brayden Point! Brayden Point! The Lightning win it! They win it in the fifth overtime! 3-2! And they lead the series 1-0.
And I'll tell you, don't ask me about the non-call.
John, I know you're obviously not pleased with the result, but the way that this game was played seemed to be played to your liking. When you mixed that and some of the individual performances you had tonight, Korpisalo, Jones, or many others, what's your message to a team after a game like this?
Get some rest and get ready to play the next game.
Thanks, Torts. So again, that was last night. Your thoughts on that, thoughts on what it meant for today, thoughts on them playing today, thoughts on the way the Bruins played, and your thoughts on the series. Your reaction, continue. Sean in Lawrence. Go ahead, Sean. What do you got?
Hey, I was calling about Krejci, but very quick, I just got to say, last night I was watching the game with my fiance, and I must have said five or six times, Fugger is going to go off on this freaking game. About how ridiculous this, this
too easy.
Is. But yeah, on Krejci, he's got to be the most frustrating person in the NHL to me. I mean, he had a gorgeous goal today, one-on-one Deacon the goalie, and played a totally solid game. And he always shows up in the playoffs. So he's got the skill set. He's got the talent. He should be like a 90-point-a-year player, but he doesn't do it during the regular season. I mean, he shows up in the playoffs. I got no problem with that, but it's almost like he just sits around and waits for something important to happen.
You know, I'm okay with that. That's hockey. You know, when freaking half the teams make the playoffs, I'll take that guy. I'll take the guy that paces himself in the regular season and produces in the postseason. The problem is he really hasn't been that the last couple of years. That was like playoff Krejci today. That was the guy that we saw in 2011, 2013 when he led the league in playoff scoring both those years. He could have. If it wasn't for Tim Thomas, he would have been the Conn Smythe in 2011. So I'm okay. You can sleepwalk through the regular season. Your team makes the playoffs and you turn on in the postseason. You know, maybe this is, you know, I've said before, it's got to be Krejci or Coyle, one of those two, right, that have got to emerge and be that second threat. Maybe the threat of Coyle has gotten Krejci off his ass a little bit.
Yeah, I thought he was good today. I mean, and again, I thought Coyle was good, too. In fact, you know, really, up and down the center position, I thought the Bruins are excellent in the whole game, really. Bergeron got up to a little bit of a slow start. I didn't love him in the first period. And then he got better as the game went. He was okay in the first period. I mean, to say he sucked. But, you know, to me, I just haven't noticed Bergeron, really, the whole time they've been in the bubble. And then he started to show up later in the game.
How about Kashe?
I like him.
Yeah, I think there's something there.
Yeah, so do I. I like it. I think he's a good fit for Krejci. There's some creativity there. You can see he understands the flow of the game in the offensive zone. And I'll tell you what, I didn't know he was the kind of guy that gets his ass back.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's why they like him. Or that's, you know, one of the reasons they liked him. So I think there's potential there with Kashe. Did have a bad penalty today, right? That was him.
Yes, yeah, holding in the offensive zone. Yep.
Bad. Will in Shrewsbury. What do you got, Will?
So, Fugger, let me get this straight. The one game in the last, 6 months that's meant anything?
Yeah.
And your biggest takeaway is that it's too long and we need to shorten it.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep. Like, what,
peak Felder and Maz, ain't it?
Understand. I just don't understand. Like, you guys have just complained and moaned about having nothing to talk about. A 5-overtime game with John Tortorella, and all of a sudden it's just, get rid of it. We don't need it.
So, by the way, first of all, we haven't complained that there's nothing to talk about. We've shown up here for the last 5 months and pretty much talked sports for the whole 5 months and haven't complained about it.
Get that right. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
You can put that on your bagel and spread it. All right? So I don't know exactly what you're talking about, complaining about no sports. In fact, I miss complaining about sports, which is what the 5-overtime game allowed me to do. No, the 5 is an easy one and is an outlier. I don't like the 3-overtime game.
Yeah,
we just discussed.
3 is too many. Three's too many. It is. It's the first thing I thought of. I said, you know, this reminds me of that game with the Blackhawks. Totally. In fact, I started, you know, telling my wife and kids about it. Yeah, we had to stay up all night. The whole thing sucked. We had to fly back, do the show the next day. Like, and now I give the Bruins credit because if you remember, they came back in one game, two in overtime again. I think it was Paye.
That's right. Absolutely.
Who scored. And then they went ahead in the series 2-1. But even so, like, you're sitting there. By the end of it, you want it to end. You just want it to end. You almost don't care who wins. You're like, just end the damn thing.
Yes, exactly. Chris and Newton, your take.
Mike and Matt, like, your OT plan blows. If you go to your format, it will be a smudge on the NHL. OT 5v5 is hockey drama. It's not an issue. It's great. But the Bruins, Rask has plausible deniability on at least 2 goals. Pasternak cuffs up the second one, and the third one, McAvoy can't get out of the way. Shannon, stop. I'm on the radio. Sorry, guys. 1 minute. Okay. Get back to you overtime. I love watching these guys. They're gasping for air. They're struggling. It's great stuff.
Okay, thanks. So, again, someone struggling to finish a marathon is I don't find interesting. I just don't find that interesting. Yeah, they're exhausted, and they've been out there forever, and it's a war of attrition. You know what wars of attrition are, Maz?
Boring.
freaking boring.
Yeah.
Like, it's a war. I don't sit here to watch a war of attrition. If I wanted that, what would I watch?
World War One tapes.
Yeah, like, that's not what I'm doing. Let's just see who can outweight the other guy. Watch chess. So I'm not in it. And I'll take the drama of the, you know, sudden death and all of that. But that does dissipate. At some point, you get to a point where it's not waiting to see what happens, but wanting it to, because you need to get out of there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
For the freak thing to happen, and then it's going to ruin one of those teams. That's what I like.
I understand that. I understand that piece to it. But can we just get to that moment sooner? That's all. David in New Bedford. Go ahead, David.
Yes, my concern with the Bruins is their power play. They're 0-13
sucks.
Now. do you think they'll improve as the series goes on?
As usual, Dave, excellent call with a short point and a salient point. Their power play blows.
Oh, it's awful. It really is. Like, when they got that one at the end of the first overtime, I thought, oh, here we go. Now this would be a good time to wake up, and that really wasn't any better than the ones they had earlier.
So
they got to get that fixed. They rely on that now.
Didn't it start with an immediate clear, too? Like, you're just like,
yes,
oh, here we
right
go.
Away.
Yeah.
He rides that first group too much. They're always the first one over the boards, and they always get more than a minute. And I don't know. I would just, when you're 0 for the last 13, I'd change it up. But Krejci in the bumper. I they start to put Coyle down there instead of DeBrusk. How about putting Pastrnak with Coyle? Just mix it, you know, for whatever it takes for a game or two to sort of jar him loose, and they can put him back if you want. But I hate the, and Cassidy generally doesn't do this, but the coaches that just, the Claude was the worst. Just keep rolling it and keep rolling it and keep rolling it. It's like, well, what are we paying you for? I could just fill out the lineup and roll it out there no matter what happens. I think they need to mix it up there a little bit. I mean, certainly there's enough tape on those guys by now. I mean, the opponents have gotten, you know, they've figured out Bergeron in the bumper. Like, I hate to break it to you. I think they figure that out. And another big beef of mine is Pastrnak on the point. He's just a giveaway waiting to happen. He's way too careless with the puck. He can't get his head out of his ass when it comes to that. And when you put him on the point on the power play, you're just inviting what happened today. And that happened all last postseason. I'm sorry. And the fact that it still happened today, that brought me right back to last year. Get his ass in the left faceoff circle and just have him fire one-timers, because that's what he's there for. As soon as he starts passing or you're relying on him to hold the line or something, you're asking for trouble. And that's what they got today. More of your thoughts after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doesn't know Felger and Mass.
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pastrnak, his pass to the middle, picked off, short-handed breakaway coming in as McGinn into the slot. Fake shoots, he scores, short-handed. Bruins 2, Hurricanes 2.
Boy, from a great opportunity to a tie game, David Pastrnak tries to make this pass. He's out at the right point, and he tries to make this pass across. And McGinn just steps right into the lane, picks it off, and he has a breakaway from his own blue line in. Torrey Krug trying to catch him, makes a great move. He's a left-hand shot coming right down the middle, fakes the shot, gets Rask to bite, pulls it to the backhand, and goes top shelf. Terrific finish by McGinn.
So that's on Pastrnak. He's still doing it.
Yeah.
Got it. Frustrates me like crazy, Murray. Go ahead.
That's the kind of stuff that I have no tolerance for, because for all his talent, boy, is he a complete idiot at times. And it almost felt like that whole thing was like karmic retribution, because it was less than a minute after that goal, the Coyle goal, right, which was, you know, obviously Rod Brind'Amour and Carolina still pissed off about because it was a hand pass or couldn't have been a hand pass, whatever it was. And then he sent that thing like willy-nilly up the ice. Krug, you know, tries to get it to Krug. It's picked off by that McGinn. And it's a tie game. It's like, oh, Jesus, what are we doing? Like, he's just a mess with the puck at times.
I've decided there's a simple way to look at him. The more time the puck spends on his stick, the worse it is.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like, really, even that play in the final goal, right? What happened? He got it. He dished it. He didn't hold it. If he starts holding the puck, you're porked. It's over. You're absolutely dead. If he starts playing with the puck, it's over.
Key sequence in the game. Key sequence in the game as well. You had just gone up on that Coyle goal that Murray's talking about. You're up 2-1, and you get the power play because they lose the challenge. So there's a real, you know, real chance there to take control of that game, and instead, first 10 seconds of it or whatever it is, you give up a shorty going the other way, and that's a hockey game. That's why you're in overtime. And I blame Pastrnak. 100% I blame Pastrnak. When is he going to get over that? When is he going to stop doing that crap?
I'm not sure. I'm not. You know, I seriously wonder whether it's ever going to change.
But Jesus. For that kind of stupidity, the pass that set up the game-winning goal in the double overtime to Bergeron was awesome. So it's just
gorgeous.
So you take the good with the bad, I guess.
617, but don't invite it. Like, don't put it on the point. I just want to put him on the point up there. 617-779-0985. So that's the first complaint on my list. What else was on your list, Matt? As you said, a bunch of other little things?
Well, so, yeah, look, again, Pastrnak turning the puck over. I thought Nick Ritchie was useless. I didn't love Rask's game. You know, he wasn't awful, but the first and third goal, I thought he misplayed both. The first one, he completely overcommitted to his left and slid across almost all the way to the left post. I'm not sure he'd have gotten it anyway. You know, there were bigger breakdowns on that play than him.
There was one we noticed late in that first overtime, too, where he slid out and he made a left shoulder save. And it was like, whoa, like it felt real shaky.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
There were a couple of those where he just didn't look right. And so he's not there yet. Again, I'm now holding him to the standard of last year, at least up until Game 7 against the Blues, and he was not nearly as good as he was then.
Okay, so Rask is on the list, Richie's on the list, Pastrnak's on the list.
DeBrusque.
Okay, DeBrusque, but it's just the finish, right?
Yes, I mean, primarily the finish, yes. But again, he had golden. I don't know how you come out of that game when you're him and not have a goal. The one where he missed the net, it's like... I mean, even he fell down on the ice because he was like so. It looked like he was embarrassed that he missed the net, for crying out loud. I looked at that and went, how the hell do you miss the net from there? How do you miss it? And he missed it, let alone the one where he, you know, rang it off the post. Now, look, there are other guys that I thought were really good. I thought Grizzlick was good in this game. In fact, I would say a lot of the Bruins are good. McAvoy had a good game. I thought McAvoy was particularly good in his own zone in this game. I thought McAvoy was really good back there. And, you know, certainly Coyle was good. Krejci, I thought, was dynamite. You know, so, but they're not there yet. They still got work to do if they want to beat the big boys.
Okay, one of the things we talked about was matching up their speed, and I think the Bruins stayed away from it. I think you saw it early, and I thought it held for most of the game. They took Chara and McAvoy away from the Aho line. You know, you notice that it was mostly Chara and McAvoy against the Trocheck line, which is the Carolina second line, and they gave Carlo and Krug the Aho line, which I think was a good call because the Aho line was pretty quiet, pretty silent.
Yep.
And so I think that... You know, that's still McAvoy, Chara is your number one D pair, but against certain matchups, you've got to protect Chara, which I think where we are at this stage, you've got to protect Zdeno Chara because that group does have the chance to skate circles around Zdeno Chara. So that was a little thing that they did there. So we'll take more of your game thoughts at 617-779-0985 and your thoughts on five overtimes in hockey in general. Cam and Taunton, bring us back. He's up next, Jimmy, on line five. I'm frozen up again. If you could pop him up. Hi, Cam. What do you got?
First of all, Mike, I appreciate you having a sense of humor about that email I sent you last week. But also on the five overtimes, I find it funny you and you calling the people at NBC and Ninny. We're not deciding the Stanley Cup with a skills competition, Mike.
Why not?
No, because that's asinine.
Let me tell you something, Cam. That deciding a Stanley Cup champion in a six-hour hockey game isn't legit either. Because hours 5 to 6. Are useless. Hours 5 to 6 isn't real hockey either. I hate to break it to you.
Okay, but you're actually playing the game, Mike. You're not lining up from center ice and skating in on the goalie to decide the freaking Stanley Cup. That's ridiculous.
What about four and four?
Okay, fine. Yeah, you want to go 4-4? Fine. That's it. You're playing the game, and you want to start 4-4 in the first overtime? Yes, that's perfectly fine. We're not going to a skills competition. Are we going to decide, should the Nathan Eovaldi game have been decided by a home run derby?
Absolutely. 100%. As opposed to that 19-hour death march? I'm sorry. Was that game two?
If I remember, that was game three.
Or game four.
Game three.
Whatever. That overnight game in L.A. sucked. That thing was stupid. They absolutely, absolutely positively, in about the 10th or 11th inning, brought out the Nets and done a home run derby. And it would have been a more entertaining product. And if it's not the real baseball, then screw it. And I know it because you didn't stay up to watch that thing. No one did. I mean, you may have fell asleep in your chair, but you didn't watch that thing. You didn't stay up for it. And if you did, you didn't enjoy it.
I guess it just really it comes down to the sport. Like, I like it in hockey. That particular game, because I remember I had to be on the air like 3 hours later, and I wanted to die.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. You had a nervous breakdown on there. It was great.
Yes. I'm telling you, I like the whole runner on second base thing. I think that's working. Like, if they had done that, I'd have got an extra 3 hours of sleep that night.
Absolutely. Well, yes. Do I want them deciding the World Series by putting a runner on second? Yep. If the choice is putting a runner on second versus sitting there for 7 hours, put the effing runner on second and let's get this thing over with.
Put him on second and third as far as I'm concerned.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Your hockey thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coyle in for the draw, wins it. Bjork left in the cage, shoots Mrazek to save, leaves a rebound. Paudette, Mrazek tries to freeze it. Coyle shoots and scores! Complaining he got interfered with. Charlie Coyle bangs it in, and the Bruins look like they're on top 2-1.
No, what he's complaining about is he thinks it's a hand pass, and it was. But if Mrazek touches it, it's no longer a hand pass.
Carolina is challenging the play for a missed stoppage in the offensive zone.
Missed stoppage. So they're not denying that the hand pass was made, but he did touch it, so... He put his hand down on the puck, and it was pried free by Richie, I believe, and Coyle puts it home.
We're about to get the call.
During the play, there was control and possession by the goaltender, therefore nullifying the hand pass. Carolina's charged a bit minor penalty for delay of game.
Wait a second. They first said that they're reviewing to see if he had the puck covered. Now they're saying because Mrazek had control of it, it negates the hand pass. So what were they reviewing?
I think they were reviewing the hand pass.
Well, then if he touched it, we said that right from the start, then there should be no hand pass. They first said that they're reviewing to see if he had control.
So, Mass, you get all that?
It was confusing. There's no two ways about it. It was. When they made the announcement, I went, what? Like, what are they, like, I was confused as to whether they were saying goal or no goal.
So, I think, long story short, Bruins catch a break there.
They did.
It just, that goal didn't feel right on a couple different levels. Felt like there was a hand pass there. Felt like the whistle could have blown. Felt like both could have been brought back on replay. But then you find out you can't review the control thing. You can't review the freezing of the puck on replay. That's not reviewable. So, they couldn't have brought it back on that. They could only bring it back on the hand pass. So... even if they ruled hand pass, then Mazarek touched it. He just didn't control it. And so, like, I think they got it right on replay, Maz. I'll say that. I think in real time, that's a whistle. You know, and I just, maybe it's bang, bang. Maybe you got to let the goalie prove that he can then hold it. But either way, I think chalk that up to just that. That was a good break. That was good luck for the Bruins, that goal.
Oh, no question. Again, usually you see it the other way around where, you know, the whistle blows and then the puck comes free and you're like, they shouldn't have blown the whistle. Like, to me, that's usually how that play goes. This was the opposite. They should have blown the whistle and they didn't. And so the play was live. And that's the only thing that I took out of the replay for sure was that there was no whistle. I said, so that puck's live. There's no whistle. You're supposed to keep playing.
Right.
So I was pretty confident that if that's what it was, like the whole hand pass thing confused me. But if it was an issue of whether he had the puck tied up, there was no whistle.
So to me, I just chalk that up to that's another example of Carolina's kind of soft down low, and their goaltenders are included in it. The goaltenders are kind of soft. They're not great. It's not great goaltending there. I think their defensemen in Carolina, as fast as they are and as dangerous as they are, kind of soft. And I just think you can take advantage of them down there. And I think they did on that goal.
And you have to think that with the quick turnaround, we're probably going to see Reimer U Bum tomorrow too.
Oh, so I was going to ask. So that's another thing. So let me just introduce this. Should the Bruins play Halak tomorrow? Do you think you're going to get Reimer U Bum tomorrow? What's the goaltending situation?
I would stick with Tuca. If I were both teams, I'd stick with my guy. Where's the wear and tear? Like, you know, you're not flying anywhere. The game's 36 hours later, and I'm, you know, stretching a little bit there. You're going to have a day off after it. It's the playoffs. What are you going to start playing musical chairs with your goalies for?
Numbers are terrible.
It is an early game on Saturday, though, so I feel like you're going to see one of these backups in these next couple of games. It's just when.
Early game for it's the 8 o'clock?
No, I'm saying game three. Saturday is at
game noon. Three is Saturday. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you're going to see one of these guys in these next two games.
But again, Jimmy, they got Friday off. Right,
Jimmy. You know how it is with these guys, though.
When you say the numbers are terrible, Jim, what are you talking about?
Ty Anderson tweeted that Tuukka Rask on 0 days rest since 2015, 311.2, a .907 save percentage.
Okay,
that's terrible.
That's not
play Halak.
It's not great. I don't know, but that is, you know, the back-to-backs, Maz, are generally, well, maybe there's travel in there.
Right.
And Cassie talked about this in the postgame, that, you know, usually, and Jimmy, you can make a live on-air request. Would you pull that cut, Cassie talking about the goaltender tomorrow? I can't remember who asked it. Maybe DuPont. And he said, you know, usually in the regular season when you're doing this, there's travel in between. You're sleeping in a hotel. You're getting a bad night's sleep or what, you know. And it's also, you know, a late night the night before. It's usually 7 o'clock game, 7 o'clock game. This was 11 a.m., and then the next game's at 8 the next night. And what the hell have you been doing for the last 4 months? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's sort of my point.
They should both play.
To get on the ice, right?
I did. They should both play.
I have your
They cut. Should. You have it. Go ahead.
I'll see how it goes. Again, you know, coming into this, there was those unknowns. How is Tuukka going to recover? I haven't played a lot of hockey. Does that help him because he's more fresh, or does he need more time in between because he hasn't played a lot? So he's starting tomorrow night, and then from there, we'll go from there. He's looked sharp, I think, the last two games. He's tracking pucks well, seeing the puck. Thought his puck play was pretty good the
what
other
you,
night.
What do you, hold on, whoa. What is this? Where's that from?
This is from last night as listed.
That's going into game one, right?
Sorry. So Cassidy post game today talked about who he's going to play tomorrow night. So there's a, if you could just grab that. I don't need to write this second. Cassidy for tomorrow. So Cassidy, today's post game talked about it. And I just think 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. and you've been on your arse for the last 5 months. And I don't know. I mean, but Rask is not exactly, you know, the bulldozer. He's not exactly the tank. And I don't know if he's going to demand the game. It feels more like he'd be the thing to say, you know, let Halak get one. I don't know. And after the way Rask even played today, do you want Halak? How do you feel Rask played, Maz?
I would say he was, okay. He wasn't horrible, but there were a couple of goals there that I thought last year he'd have stopped those. The way he was playing in the postseason last year until game seven, I'm not sure they get the first one. I'm not sure they get the third one. So now, would I put either one of them on him? I mean, the Bruins had a complete defensive breakdown on that first goal, and then the third one was in his screen. I still think, though, that when he's locked in, he gets those. So I want him to play through it. Like, I want the reps with him right now because I don't think he's played enough. So I would put him back out there. It's not like you got on a plane at 2 in the morning and then you're, you know, playing the next day. What else are they doing up there? And you know what? If he needs to unwind and chill out, go have yourself a couple of vodkas. You know, be in bed at 10 o'clock, wake up at 10 o'clock. It's a night game. It's at 8. You've got plenty of time.
So I'm conflicted. Like, I think the nature of this back-to-back, these guys should go. Okay? These guys should go. But I'm not the biggest Tuukka Rask fan. I'd love to see, you know, what if Halak goes out there and lights it up, you know, and we can get a little of that going back and forth. I don't think that hurts. I might even help Tuukka Rask a little bit. Light a fire a little bit. I don't know if a-holes like us come on the air the next day and say, stick with Halak, you know, like just get that thing going. That's good for business. Yeah, I wouldn't hate that.
I'd be ready to do that.
Right? So, like, I mean,
ready to do it now.
I think the whole thing, I don't think Rask was particularly sharp today. Not that he was horrible, but even some of the stuff that he saved, Murray mentioned that one play. It's probably the second period. He was going post to post, and it was from the same defenseman that scored. So maybe it was the third period. It was from the.
No, it was late in the first overtime. There was one that he went. And he made a left shoulder save, but it looked like he slid way too far. It was like, whoa, all right, he made the save, but yeesh.
Yeah, I don't think Rask was great today. So I don't know. I could go either way with that. I think we'll spin it into some piece of crap, you know, whichever they decide. So let's keep our ears peeled on that one. Here's Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, I promise. Your reaction to the Bruins' overtime win today, your reaction to the idiocy of 5 overtimes in Stanley Cup hockey, all of it to you, I promise, right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.